You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Ken Pasch, author of On Course, Become a Great Leader, and Soar. Mr. Pasch brings over 30 years' experience in revolutionizing leader development within a broad range of organizations, including the U.S. military, Johnson & Johnson, the American College of Healthcare Executives, and the Pennsylvania Department of Health. He is also the founder of Key Visions, Inc., which advises good people on how to become great leaders. Mr. Pasch, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, Mr. Dye, I think it's an opportunity that I wouldn't pass up for sure. Thanks for having me on.
And with great pleasure to have you. Thanks so much for your time. Now, tell us, for starters, what prompted you to write On Course?
Well, if we look around the world, I think people can recognize there's an awful lot of human potential that's being wasted. And I love people, and I hate waste. And so I come at it from that perspective that how do we get those good people to unlock, engage, and optimize that potential? Well, I think we have to have really good people who become really great leaders, because that's how we get that potential out of people.
Now, in the book, you mentioned having a eureka moment. When did this happen? Get into some of those details.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun time, let me tell you. Back in 1982, I made a transition from flying in the Air Force to helping lead medical centers in the military. And I had not been in a leadership position before. I had a lot of responsibilities, but they're all personal. And so I got this piece of paper slipped under my door one night that told me exactly what some people thought of my leadership capabilities and qualifications. It was not good, let me tell you. So I had to fix it.
And I'd say that's in a eureka moment, no doubt about that. Now, not many people like to admit their failures. What made you realize you were once a bad boss?
Well, like I say, this wake-up call, it just let me know that I better take a look at how I was doing things. And someday, Eric, if we ever have a chance, I have a copy of it. I don't have the original anymore. I think I tore it up and threw it away, but I know what I have a copy, and I'll show it to you. But it just let me know that I needed to take a look. And so I was getting good results, but what I realized was I was having a negative impact on some decent folks. And so I had to figure out how to make this team concept work, not just me win, but all of us.
Today we are visiting with Mr. Ken Pasch, author of On Course, Become a Great Leader, and Soar, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, tell us, Mr. Pasch, why do our bosses have so much influence on us, and is this a good or a bad thing?
Well, it can be a great thing, but unfortunately, I think most people would tell you, I ask this question often. I ask, have you ever had a bad boss? And I've only ever had two people say no, but even those two responded very quickly with, but I've had a whole bunch who could have been a lot better. And so, you know, we have to figure out how to play the roles that are required of the boss. And a leader is one of the prime roles, obviously. And so many people, it's not that they're jerks. They just don't know how. And so that's what I try to do, is help them know how to make that leader role work.
I like it. Now, I was also surprised to read that many leaders are uncomfortable with authority. Isn't this counterintuitive?
Oh, it most certainly is counterintuitive. But I think what happens is that we have this excitement that somebody thought enough of us to place us into a position of authority as the boss. Then we have to try to figure it out. Now, forever and a day, I'm old enough to remember when the command and control structure was something that people thought, yeah, that's the way to help people get where they want to go. But we've been told for decades, no, don't do that. And the no, don't do that is absolutely correct. But that's the fallback for so many people, because they don't know how to do what should be done. Because so many of the leader development books out there tell people what to do to become a great leader. But I have found so few that tell me, how do I make that happen? And so that's why we try to concentrate on helping people. Don't be uncomfortable. figure out how to become a great leader, and some of those things that you have to do will become so much easier as you're trying to make things work for your people.
Now, Mr. Pasch, as a leader yourself, how do you know if you're off track, and are there any warning signs to let you know that you are off track?
Yeah, I didn't know them at the time. I think I was one of those bad bosses that just assumed that, well, there really isn't a way to do this, how to do this, and so I've just got to go back to that command and control structure, and I just got to tell people what to do, and they just got to follow my lead, because that's what the contract says. Yeah, that doesn't work very well. And so what I found out afterward as I started exploring this, because there's a lot of people that don't believe leadership can be measured because it's so subjective. Well, I'll argue that to the hilt, because there are a number of things. One of the ways that your listeners could figure out whether or not they're on track or not, ask yourself, be honest, if you were asked to resign, how would your people respond? Because a lot of people are going to respond, hey, great, let's throw a party after you leave, you know? And I think people realize that. And if that's the case, then you better figure out, you got to do it a different way. And that was one of the big warning signs that I didn't realize was there, because I think a lot of people would have said, yeah, we're okay if you leave, Pasch.
Great point. Now, why do people need catastrophic events to spur course corrections?
I think it all goes back to the things that we really don't like to do. We hate, we hate to discuss death. We hate to think about taxes. And tax day just went by not too long ago. And we always hate change. And so what happens is we're on a course, it ain't going right, but boy, to go through that process of changing that course, most people think that's even worse. So I think that's the biggest issue is, since we don't know how to make those changes and we don't make the changes until things hit bottom, I think that becomes the catalyst that when we figure that we're at the bottom, and I was at the bottom when I got that wake-up call, trust me, I had to figure it out. And so that's what we're trying to do, is help people figure out how to get better before you have your own eureka moment like I did. You don't want that.
Now, looking at the workforce, how should we measure success in today's workforce? Isn't it all about the bottom line?
Oh, absolutely, because I come from my background in healthcare institutions was oriented towards finance in many regards. And the financial aspects of things, let's face it, we got to make a profit. We've got to make sure we're covering all our bills. We've got to have the cash. We've got to do all those kind of things. And those are all absolutely important. But how we get there is vital, because when we measure the resources in our organization, some of those resources are totally underutilized. We would never let a surgical suite, for instance, that we just built in a medical facility go underutilized. That would be stupid. Well, the same can be true about the potential in the people and the resources that people bring to the organization. And so that's what we've got to do, is we've got to recognize that that bottom line should include the optimal use of all our resources, including human. And so we've got to factor in some of these measures, and we can figure that out. Go and measure your operations now, then put in a really good, highly qualified leader development program, and see what the measurements are afterward. And you're likely to find a significant difference. And so that's what we have to do, is we have to measure all the resources that are at our disposal, not just the financial, not just the physical resources, because those human resources are way more important in the big picture.
Mr. Pasch, I'd like to hear your take on this. What's the one staff role every organization cannot do without?
there are actually a couple, but I would say that the staff role that you can't do without is you as a leader need somebody to serve as your devil's advocate, because there are so many people in so many positions that they think, because they've been placed in a leadership role, that the buck does stop with you, but that doesn't mean that you are the one that should drive all the decisions. And I actually had people on my staff all the time when I figured this out that had the willingness and the understanding and the trust in me that when I did something stupid or was thinking about doing something stupid, they could come tell me, whether they did it openly or not, dependent upon the person and dependent upon the situation. But I always had somebody that would tell me, hey, Pasch, you're going the wrong way, and here's why. And you take those inputs and you work through those inputs to figure out, okay, now what do we do? So I always believe you got to have at least one person that serves as your devil's advocate.
Good stuff here, and really a lot of great information here on leadership, the do's and the don'ts, and I'm sure your book hits on a lot of this and further details in all regards. Lastly, why is leadership essential to our everyday lives?
Well, when we look at it, when we look at what leaders do, I mean, the bottom line is that leaders guide the course of a group of people. And what they do to guide that course, because that includes decisions and actions and inactions and the outcomes of the group, that requires the leader to envision that intended destination, which is why visions is part of my company name, because it's so vital. Then they got to communicate that vision to the group. Then they got to focus the energy of the people in the group toward the accomplishment of the mission or missions that will achieve the vision. And just think of what happens in organizations where those things aren't taking place. Nobody is really taking on that leadership role, and those other things we just talked about don't happen. It's likely that that organization is going to crash and burn. And so that's why I think leaders, and that doesn't include just leaders of businesses, whether you're a parent or you're a teacher of a classroom or you name it. There are all sorts of people that are in leadership positions that I don't deal with, Eric. I only deal with people in businesses and organizations like that. So, but leadership is just that essential. If we don't have that, nothing really gets done the way we want it to get done.
Well, Mr. Pash, it's been great to have had you today, and thanks so much for your time. We certainly don't want to let you get out of here without finding out where we can pick up the book On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar, and also get further details on your firm there, Key Visions.
Well, thanks for that, Eric. Go to my website, www.keyvisions.com, and key is a Japanese word, so it's spelled K-I, so it's www.kivisions.com. And Eric, if I can take just a second to thank you for this opportunity. You do a great job, and you interview a lot of really good folks, and we get a lot of good stuff out of your show. So I appreciate the opportunity to be part of that.
And it certainly is our pleasure to have people like yourself on the program. Mr. Pash, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated, and thanks for the kind words as well.
Thanks, Eric. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Ken Pash, author of On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. Mr. Pash brings over 30 years of experience in revolutionizing leader development within a broad range of organizations. And for further details, visit keyvisions.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.